It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here again today. This program comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. I'd like to say again to each and every one of you that we really appreciate you allowing us the privilege of being able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. Before Brother Dishman brings today's message to you, I'd like to ask you a serious question. Have you ever thought of the terrible tragedy that it would be to be lost? To come down to the end of life's journey and find that you have been rejected by the Lord. Friend, God gives every one of us time and opportunity to prepare for eternity. Hopefully, as today's message goes forth, you will seriously consider your eternal destiny. So many have neglected this important matter. Here now is our brother Larry Dishman to bring us the good news from a far country.
Well, I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. We'll read here in Proverbs 27, verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Then we're going to turn over to Proverbs 29 and verse number 1. "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I'd like to talk to you for a little while about procrastination and what it leads to. You know, it is shocking to realize that our Savior plainly taught that the human race as a whole is going headlong into destruction, into everlasting torment. The majority is headed that way. So that causes us sometimes to ask the question, why do they do it? Why do people remain lost? Why is it that some have not yielded to the Holy Spirit? The answer is because of procrastination. Men intend to be saved. I do not believe that one person has intentions on being lost forever. My friend, procrastination is what causes so many to end up in a devil's hell. Let's consider for a few moments some things that are inevitable if you continue to procrastinate. How are you going to be able to escape a wasted life if you continue to procrastinate? The vast majority of all people who are ever saved get saved when they're young. Statistics will prove that most people who get saved and stay saved get saved when they're young. That does not mean that a middle-aged person cannot be saved. That does not mean that an older person cannot be saved. I've had people to walk the aisle and get saved in some of our meetings in their 80s. And so God had mercy. But for the most part, people that wait until they're that old continue on to procrastinate. But suppose, for the sake of argument, that you do not get saved while you're young and time lasts and you get saved as an old person. Even if that be the case, still, my friend, you're going to wake up to the reality, I've wasted my life. Friend, you don't have to go on in sin and waste your life. And if you do, put off salvation and continue to procrastinate. You cannot escape a wasted life. So I solemnly warn every individual, even if you should later get saved, you'll still have tears and heartaches over the years that you wasted. And those years that we wasted out there in sin can never be redeemed. How wise it is. And you young people that's on fire for God, stay on fire for God. Don't let the devil cheat you out of your salvation. Don't let the devil waste your life. Wasted years. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. It's a foolish thing, friend, to waste your life away. Procrastination. What's it lead to? Procrastination leads to more sin. If you've been procrastinating, you've been putting off your salvation, I can almost promise you that the devil's going to lead you into more sin. Get you more and more and more entangled in the depths of sin. We've heard it many times, but it's so true that sin takes an individual farther than they want to go, keeps them longer than they want to stay, and costs them so much more than they want to pay. You know, the old devil's not merciful to people. He'll keep dragging them on and dragging them on. Friend, if you don't get saved, the devil's going to take you just a little further out there and a little further. And he'll get you in a situation and get you so bound up that it seems there's no way out of the situation. So many today have got so bound up by the things of the world that they see no way out of their dilemma. Certainly we're told in the Bible that the way of the transgressor is hard, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And friend, a life of sin cannot turn out happily. It's just impossible. A life of sin will never, in the end, turn out happily. I'm not saying that you can't find pleasure in sin, but I'm saying when you come to the end of life's journey, you'll realize, you'll understand that you took the wrong road when you traveled the road that leads to destruction. How can a person escape the chastening of God if he procrastinates? How can he escape the inevitable train of sorrows that follow the road of sin? And that's so true. There's a train of sorrows that follow the road to sin. Sin, it's a blighting and it's a hellish thing. It leaves its mark of pain and shame and heartbreak and a guilty conscience wherever it goes. Suppose you continue to procrastinate a few more years, even if you later get saved, you still cannot avoid the wrath of God and the punishment of sin that inevitably follow. I'm talking about broken homes, broken health, prodigal children, lost friendships, bleeding hearts are the inevitable consequences of sin. And after you've lived a life of sin, after you've sowed your wild oats, so to speak, and you went out here and did all these things, my friend, getting saved doesn't mean that you'll not reap for the things that you did in this life. Amen. Yes, friend, you'll reap what you sow in your body. Men think that they can get by with sin. They think that somehow I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to do what I really need to do. I can go out here and have my fun and somehow I'll be able to escape the wages of sin. But sin consumes physical strength, causes diseases of all kinds. Oh, just notice how robust an individual may be. but let them get involved into the depths of sin. Friend, when a person really gets involved in the depths of sin, it don't take very long until, my friend, that one that was strong and healthy now is very weak, skin and bones. Visit the hospitals and see the faces with, my friend, written across their brows, you see pain and agony. You can go to some home and see some young man, some young woman bedfast with some fatal disease. Many times it's because of sin. Hospitals are filled with broken, diseased bodies. My friend, it'll undermine your health. Sin destroys mental faculties. Asylums are filled with sin-wrecked minds. Sin destroys peace of mind. It perverts the affections. It ruins all the soul's fairest prospects. Think about procrastination, what it leads to. It leads to a wasted life. It leads, my friend, to more and more sin, reaping more and more sin, and it leads to a hardened heart. Many times it's easy to preach the gospel to those who've never heard the beautiful story. How tender is the heart that's never heard that Jesus came to this world to die for sinners. But the deadly danger of procrastination is it results in the hardening of the heart. Neglect deadens the conscience. Neglect dulls the ears until one cannot hear God's call. Neglect blinds the eyes to the inevitable results of sin. And when one has heard the gospel and then postpones it and continues to say no to God time and time again, you know what happens? The gospel becomes common. And I fear possibly that could be working on some. We become hardened to the gospel. And so we, my friend, become less and less sensitive to the voice of God. The things that once moved our hearts no longer move our hearts because we procrastinated. How often I've seen evidence of people's hearts are hardened when they hear the gospel. It either, my friend, turns people's heart to God. And if you don't listen to God, if you don't do something about it, it turns your heart farther away from God. Because the gospel does something, one way or the other. It's going to have a positive effect, or it's going to have a negative effect. It's something about the Bible. There's something about God's word that the Bible says, His word will not return void. It accomplishes the thing in which it was sent to accomplish. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and to them that perish. To the one we're a savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life, who is sufficient for these things." You see, dear ones, those who are not saved by the gospel will find that their heart has been hardened by the gospel. Pharaoh hardened his own heart by neglecting warning after warning. His repentance was insincere. His heart grew calloused and indifferent. Plague after plague came from God, yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. And since Pharaoh would not repent with godly sorrow, since he would not do what God was urging him to do. So my friend, God forced the issue so that his heart was forever hardened. First, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Then the Bible says, God hardened his heart. And he died in the Red Sea with his armies to be forever an example of a man who would not hear God's voice, who hardened his heart and then became so hardened that he could never be what God would have him to be. If you turn down the gospel, If time lasts another week, it'll probably be easier next week. And if you turn it down next week, possibly it'll be easier to do it next month. And if you turn it down next month, if time lasts another year, it's going to be easier. Amen. Somebody said, well, does it really work that way? Where's all the young people? Where's all the saints' children? Thank God for the saints' children that's here. Thank God for that. So many of them are out in sin. Why are they out in sin? I'll tell you why they're in sin. Because of procrastination. They once sat in these pews. They once sang. We're camp meeting. Boys and girls. Amen. They were so tender at one time. They went to these Sunday school classes. They had godly men and godly women, saints of God that taught them. They had saints of God, good Christian parents. Where are they at? So many of them are out into the depths of sin. Just look around and see what sin does. Look around at other young people. Look where they're at. Look what sin has done to them. Is that what you want in your life? It's the same way with me back in Newcastle, Indiana. The church I was raised up in. The young people, where are they at? Most of them is in the depths of sin, bound by the habits of life. With all that I have within me, I'm trying to flash your red light before you stop. Hold it for a moment. Won't you consider with us what procrastination will do to an individual? Come, let us reason together. Let's reason about this. Look what sin can do in an individual's life. My friend, do you know that it's possible that one day you won't be moved at all by the teachings of the Bible? There's coming a day that possibly you won't be stirred with all the pleadings of that godly mother, that godly father, that preacher, or whoever it might be. Don't wait until your soul becomes deafened to the tender call of God's Spirit. It's possible to become, in a sense, hardened, and your conscience become less and less and less tender. The refusal to take heed to the voice of God is connected with the hardening of the heart. Sinner, about the worst thing to happen that can happen to you is your heart become hardened. You become insensible to your danger, indifference to the claims of Christ, to reach a point where you'll no longer be moved by the pleadings of your best friend, that you'll no longer be moved by the preaching of the gospel. Don't neglect your salvation any longer. Don't procrastinate any longer. Because do you believe that the sweet Holy Spirit is going to strive with you forever and ever? That he will never become angry? How many insults do you think God will take from your wicked, unbelieving, Christ-rejecting heart before he allows you to slip out into a lost eternity? How long will you trifle with the influences of God's Spirit? You see, when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to your heart and you say no, you're trifling with the influences of God's Holy Spirit. And one day, every sinner will receive his last call from God. The fourth and last thing that procrastination leads to, it leads to a devil's hell. That's where it ends up. That's where procrastination ends, in a devil's hell. Sinner friend, if you neglect your soul salvation, how are you going to keep from dropping off in a devil's hell? I believe that procrastination is the shortest road to hell. It's the quickest way to get there. And if you neglect your poor soul, then, my friend, one day you'll wake up in a torment where the fire never goes out, and where the worm never dies, according to the words of Jesus. So I plead with you, I beg with you to today that you would earnestly consider, count the cost, and pay the price. Don't let these words slip from your mind, because men just cannot escape dropping off unprepared into a lost eternity if they persist on procrastination, if they persist on putting off their salvation. Somebody said, well, I don't really think that all that's about hell is true. Friend, hell is a scriptural fact. It's a settled fact. It's a sure fact. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of death. It's a place of damnation. It's a place of despair. It's a place of denial. If all the water was converted into ink and all the steel into pens, half of the horrors of hell could not be portrayed. If all the fires that ever were and all the fires that shall be was contracted into one fire, it'd be like a painted picture on the wall compared to what hell is going to be like. Hell is one long night, and after you've been there 10 million years and look towards the future, you can only see eternity. It's stretching on and on without any hope. My friend, when once the gates of hell are shut, they'll never be unbarred again, because on every chain of hell is written forever. No doubt Felix is in hell. You know why? Because of procrastination. From what I can tell from the Bible, Agrippa is in hell because of procrastination. If a person could go to hell and talk to person after person and say, why are you here? Why did you choose death? Why did you choose sin? My friend, I believe that they would all say, I intended to get saved. I expected to repent of my sins. I knew I ought to be saved, but I didn't see any need for hurry. I was just a young person when God started dealing with me. I postponed the matter. I neglected my soul's salvation. Now at last, when it's too late for mercy, too late for pity, I'm forever lost in this place of darkness. I believe as you would go from one to another among the doomed souls, most of them would reply, they intended to get saved. They thought for sure they would. They meant to repent of their sins, but they put it off, waited a little longer until at last they awoke in a devil's hell. Let me tell you, to every sinner, to every backslider, do you know what your greatest danger is? Somebody said, I think it would be to be a drug addict, or to be an alcoholic or a drunkard, or to be bound by sin. That's my worst danger. Your worst danger is procrastination. That's the worst thing that you can do. Because for every other kind of sin, there's a remedy. But there's no remedy for the individual who faithfully resists the Holy Ghost. However bad your past, however guilty your conscience today, if you will repent, place faith in the Son of God, turn to Jesus Christ, you can have forgiveness and salvation. But if you neglect, you're almost in hell. However much you're convinced that the Bible's true, however solemnly you resolve that one day you're going to get saved, however many prayers that's been prayed for your soul, if you neglect your salvation, you're on the broad way that leads to destruction, which uncounted millions land in hell by traveling the broad way of procrastination to keep your soul out of hell. Turn from your procrastination and repent of your sins. Run to Jesus for mercy before it's too late. Dear sinner, as the birds pick up the seeds scattered by the sower, so Satan would like to take the word of God out of your heart. I plead with you, don't let the devil take those seeds out of your heart. Take heed today. Don't allow this solemn warning to slip by. Because if you procrastinate, you cannot escape a devil's hell. But if you want to be saved, Christ is ready. He died for your sins. Everything that it takes to save you has been accomplished as far as He is concerned. Are you willing to trust Him, depend upon Him for forgiveness and salvation, a home in heaven? If you're willing to do that, He's willing to save you at this very moment. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that soul-searching message that you've given us today. Friend, if your intention is to make heaven your home, you must prepare for it now, while you're living here in this life. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ encourages you not to neglect this most important issue of life. Do it now. Do it today, while you have time and opportunity. Dear one, do you desire to find God and real salvation, but you need help? If so, would you please give Brother Decker a call at 740-404-5519. He is ready to help pray with you and see you find victory to live for God. That number to call again is 740-404-5519. Friends, we'd like to remind you that our winter camp meeting begins here at God's Acres tomorrow evening. That's Monday, the 27th, going through Thursday, December the 30th. Three main services will be conducted each day starting on Tuesday. 10 o'clock in the morning is our morning service. 7 o'clock is the evening service. And don't forget about at 2:30 in the afternoon is our children's Bible school. And then again at 3 o'clock, our teaching service. There is also a youth service each evening at 6 o'clock. Pastor Roger Decker would like to invite each and every one of you to join us here at the camp meeting. If you need transportation for any of these services, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We certainly hope to see you at the camp meeting.